It does strike fear, and I can understand that. It doesn't matter where you are in the world, the thought of getting infected with a virus that would turn you into a living incubator of virus, where the virus will infect every organ in your body, when you'll end up with high temperatures, aches and pains, rashes, vomit, diarrhea, and blood, that's not a pretty affair.
It sounds very dreadful.
It's a strange virus in a way, because you don't easily catch it. It's not easily spreadable. It's not a human virus. It's a bat virus that's jumped across a species, possibly via a rat and got into us. And that's why it's infrequent that you have these outbreaks, fortunately. But it's not easy spreading from person to person. Otherwise, there'd be a lot more than 700 deaths in those African countries where the population is probably in excess of 40 million. But on the other hand, when you do get it, you'd rather not be anywhere near there.
You said it's spread through bats. How does it come from bats to humans?
Well, the reservoir is the bat. So it probably produces no disease at all in the bat. We all presume that their ecological niche is broken open by someone possibly killing them or hunting them for food, or they're moving out from their little cave and infecting rats, animals, and indeed humans who are living nearby, maybe bat droppings or a dead bat every now and then. So one way or another, infrequently, some person gets infected. That person begins to have the incubation period, you know, you're waiting for it, you've got yourself infected, you don't know about it, you're walking wounded, and suddenly one day, after about 6 days later, you suddenly your temperature goes up, you begin to have a huge headache, aches and pains, you might have a rash even at that stage, you may begin to vomit, you're just feeling like death really. And then suddenly, that's the first case. When that case dies, that person might survive, but if you're out in the bush area with not much, all that much medical nursing attention, you're more likely to die than not. The relatives will come in, prepare the body for burial in a traditional way.
And that's where it's really important, especially in the African setting, where they hug and hold on to the dead as if their own life depends on it. So what should they be doing if someone has died from Ebola?
Unfortunately, they're going to have to keep away from that body. In fact, if you go into a room with someone with Ebola who's vomiting, there's blood all over the place, if you just go in the room to help, unless you've got training on disinfection, on what's called infection control, that is, you've got a pair of rubber gloves on, a white coat and possibly a mask and some goggles, you are yourself putting yourself at risk. So that's what tends to happen. The first case comes from the bat. The first case is then dies, say, is buried, but then the people involved in that burial are themselves at risk. It's difficult to catch it, so you might have 100 people at the burial. You might get one other or two others get the disease. They might get frightened and start moving. Often that happens in every country in the world. You get frightened, you start getting on the move. And then suddenly you've got the virus moving to another country and someone else, that person dies and someone else catches it. This virus does not blow on the wind. This virus moves from country to country by people who are already infected moving with it.
By shaking hands?
Well, if you've got these symptoms, you'll be excreting the virus everywhere, and so you will have virus on your hands. The virus will be all over your body. Even at that stage, if your own personal level of hygiene is low, you're not washing hands, you're not disinfecting your hands, the immediate you touch someone else, you stand a risk of spreading your virus to them, and they stand a risk of catching it. But more often than not, I think they'll get away with it with a handshake. But actually touching the dead body with virus all over the body, then I think you're putting yourself much more at risk.
So if you know somebody's infected, do you walk away from them? Do you report them? What do you do? Do you abandon them to die?
Yeah, this is a horrible, horrible situation to be in. It really is. But you really have to get medical or nursing aid. You have to get someone to help you, both for your benefit and for the benefit of the person who's in the room ill. Because the chance of that person surviving without medical care, and basically it's nursing care, it's keeping them quiet. It's a question of trying to feed them, maybe getting some fluid into them, intravenous fluid, so a bit of basic nursing care. They will die otherwise, but with that care, they can survive.
So they can survive. So what should people be doing if you know you are sick?
They should be trying to get to a hospital. But they have to be very careful with it. I'm sorry to put it so scientifically, but if you're a member of your family is ill, already showing the symptoms, and there's very great suspicion that person might have Ebola, and then you more or less have to phone up the hospital and tell them you're coming. You can't just wander into the place, into the accident and emergency department, because you'll put everyone else at risk. So you more or less have to give them advance warning. And if they're organised, and some of these small hospitals may not be organised, and I understand that, but to give them some advance warning, then hopefully they'll have a room that they can put you in away from anyone else. And they will begin the technique of barrier nursing. That is, no one can go in that room except for a gowned-up nurse or a doctor. No family members will be allowed in. No cleaners will be allowed in. You have to keep people away. It's called social distancing. You have to do that. The level of hygiene in that hospital, the hand washing and the equipment, the masks and what, all has to be there.
What happens when somebody dies in a room? Do you disinfect the room, burn it down, or just really rub it down from top to bottom? Or do you abandon the room completely?
Well, this virus, fortunately for all of us, this virus is very easily killed. It's a very fragile virus. It's easy, very easily killed by hot water and soap because it's got lipid in it. And just like you get fat off a plate by adding soapy water or detergent water, so this virus can be got rid of quite easily. It will be got rid of by chlorine as well. So you can kill it quite easily. That's a good thing. So if someone has died, a member of family has died in the room, then you have to be very, very careful. You have to be very careful with the sheets, the blankets, all will have to be soaked in disinfectant or detergent and brought up to high temperature.
Or just burn them.
Well, I don't think you have to burn them. A temperature of 100 degrees, boiling water would kill this virus instantly. But then you have the problem of the bed. How do you deal with the bed? How do you deal with the room? Well, you can do a deep disinfection of the room. You don't have to burn it. So you can do disinfecting, but you have to be careful doing it, and you have to do it correctly.
So this Ebola virus is not airborne?
No, it's hardly. You're not going to. I think there's been the impression you pick it up in the wind. This virus is not blowing in the wind. It's not moving from country to country because it's being carried in the wind. It's moving from country to country because someone already infected, beginning to show the symptoms, is moving from country to country and spreading it.
My final question will be, it started suddenly. Can it also suddenly disappear and then everybody's back to normal?
Yes, I think this will disappear. I'm a bit surprised it's gone on as long as it has. I was pleased today to see the action being taken for the first time, tracing people who've been on the plane where a known infected person has been on the plane. That's exactly what you have to do. It's called contact tracing. You have to find everyone on that plane. You have to find everyone in contact with that single case. You must bring them into a quarantine unit and keep them there for at least 10 days because they might be incubating the disease and then spread it on inadvertently to other people. So it's contact tracing and it's hygiene that in those communities, hygiene will have to raise the level. You know, it's bad enough here in England, the level of hygiene, which is quite low. And a bit in Africa, you've got extra problems. Sometimes it's difficult to get hot water. Sometimes it's not easy to get soap and so on and so forth. So it's not easy, I know that. But you need to get the hygiene level up, hand washing 6 times a day with hot soap, surface cleansing, and keep away from funerals, keep away from people who've just died, keep away from people who are showing the symptoms. And then,
and people who have the symptoms shouldn't feel ashamed. It's not as if it's a terrible disease that you have to be ashamed of.
No, there's nothing to be ashamed of. It's a question of, with infection, with any infection, I think, particularly one was so horrible as this, you've got a responsibility, two responsibilities, we all have it, not to get infected in the first place. That's why you will keep away from other people with it. That's why you will wash your hands. That you do. But if you do get infected, you have another responsibility. Do not pass it on.